Welcome to Built to Go, a van life podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Wagg, coming to you from the College of Curiosity. This time it's episode, I don't actually know what episode this is. It's an episode, though. It's going to be me talking, and I guess that makes an episode. But honestly, we're just going to wing this one. Okay. So, yeah, okay, music, you can go away now. Okay, goodbye, music. It was nice having you. Thank you. Okay. So, I'm tired. I'm sorry. This is the only podcast where you can listen to somebody just laugh at themselves without having even said anything. I mean, is that what you signed up for? Okay, here's the deal. I didn't do a podcast last week because things happened. And my podcast this week, well, I have all kinds of content. I have so much content. And yet things keep happening. It's so frustrating. But I am going to do what is essentially going to be a very long tail from the road because I had a tail. I went to VanFest and it was fabulous. But holy cow, there are some crazy stories about getting there. So, folks, first off, thank you. Thank you to everyone. Thank you to everyone who listens. Thank you to everyone who visits buymeacoffee.com/built-to-go. That's 2 T's, not 3, not 1. And that's the last time I'll say anything about that here on this one. And wow, van life folks are generally very nice folks. I think we can say that at this point. There's all kinds of diversity in van life. You know, you're going to run into the grumpy people who are in their vans and don't want to talk to anybody. But the nice thing about the grumpy people who are in their vans and don't want to talk to anybody is, well, they're in their vans. They are not bothering anybody. So even the nasty people in van life tend to not bother anybody. But when van life people get together and do the things that van life people do, it's glorious. And so I just came back from VanFest in Florida, and this was VanFest Liftoff. And if you want to learn more about all the different VanFests, it's VanFestUSA.com. I've mentioned them many times, and I'm excited about VanFest because it's an East Coast event primarily, and there aren't that many of those. And actually, that's not necessarily true anymore. There are a bunch of East Coast ones, but this one is the one that draws people from really far away. And it's a very, very diverse crowd. There were 350 different rigs there this year, and they were all different kinds of rigs. I mean, schoolies of every shape and size, vans of every shape and size. There was a little Prius, not even the station wagon, it was a little Prius that was an unbelievable build. I mean, super comfortable. Dude had everything he could ever want in it. There was an old Ford Transit Express that everybody was talking about because apparently it had a bowling alley in it. That may have been an exaggeration, but it was a very, very nice build. And there was even a truck camper there, only one. It's kind of funny. Truck campers seem to be the least popular vehicle at these events for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe because they kill your gas mileage so much when you drive them. I don't know. And then there was me. And I was there not in a van because despite all the RVs I own now, I don't actually own a van, which makes me very sad. No, I was there in... Well, let me tell you the story. So, when I decided I was going to go to the VanFest, it was very late. It was like January, and I had a month to prepare. And I thought, oh, no, that's fine. I've got a month. I'll make it work. And the day I signed up for VanFest, it was 50 degrees in Chicago. And I was like, that's fine. I don't have to do a full build. I'll just build it out enough, and we'll be okay. And to be clear, what we're talking about here is a truck shell, a utility topper. That's what I had to build out. So I have this pickup truck, 2019 Ram 1500 Classic with an 8-foot bed, 2-door, and I have an 8-foot long fiberglass utility shell that slides in. Now this is a shell that has a floor, so it's not a truck camper. It's one of these shells that, like, you see electricians using. It has barn doors in the back, and the entire thing can be removed. And when I got this thing off Facebook Marketplace for $500, I thought this was going to be a great camper because it can come off the truck And if I wreck the truck, I still have my build. Or if I want to take it off the truck and use it as a trailer and tow it with something else, I can do that. I mean, it's ultimate flexibility. And did I mention the $500? Well, this thing wasn't built out at all. All I had was the back doors, and I had these side wing doors, no windows, some electricity. There was lighting in there, but the wiring was kind of janky. And I thought, all right, I just need a few days, and I'll build it out. And then the Arctic came to visit, and the temperatures here were so cold that I couldn't do anything with it. Now, working in the cold is one thing. You're cold, okay, you can take breaks, you can dress up warmly, all that. And yes, you have the problem of that it's difficult to use your fingers for intricate things, which I had to do a little bit of. All that's true, but, you know, as far as cutting wood with a skill saw, yeah, you can do that in the cold if you have to. But the materials I was working with did not like the cold. I'm working with wires that got all stiff and wouldn't bend properly. I had hoses, pieces of plastic. I mean, it really wasn't possible to properly work on the thing. And I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting, thinking it's going to get warmer, it's going to get warmer. It never did. And then a week before VanFest, I'm like, I have no choice. I have to go do something. So I put in my Olympian Wave 3 heater and just toughed it out and broke things. And it was kind of ugly, but at the end of that, I managed to have a bed, a desk with a rolling chair, a refrigerator, and a place to cook. Now, I did not really have a sink area. I had a jug of water that I could use and a bowl that I could use. And I was like, okay, I can get by with that. Had a little cassette toilet, so that was covered. And then at the very last minute, I decided to put in a diesel heater, which is dumb, right? I should have put that in at the beginning. I had the diesel heater sitting here. I just thought, well, you know, that's a lot of work. And it's difficult to figure out how to exhaust a diesel heater out of this because I can't go through the floor because, you know, there's a truck there. And I did figure that out. But I didn't finish putting the diesel heater in until just a couple hours before it was time to go. But I did. And I loaded the thing up. I had all the shelving. I had everything I needed in there. And, you know, I sat in there and I was like, for a very fast, no build, this thing's pretty comfy. You know, I was pretty pleased with it. The heater was working well, pumping heat in there. It was very cozy. And I thought, I am set. And so I hit the road late in the afternoon. And I had the worst drive ever, basically. The drive from Chicago down to VanFest, there's only one word for it, and that word is sucked. It sucked. Not only was the weather crappy, it was kind of foggy, rainy, sleety, it was full of traffic. The traffic was unbelievable. From the second I left Chicago, it took me 90 minutes to get from Chicago to Indiana, which if you look at a map, is really pathetic, and it didn't get any better. Indiana was full of traffic, Kentucky was full of traffic, Nashville is a freaking disaster right now, it's worse than Atlanta right now. The drive was terrible, but that's just traffic. The pièce de résistance was that when I got to Kentucky, I decided to go in the back and make sure everything was okay, and even before I opened the door, I smelled diesel fuel. And it's a gasoline truck. So you know where that diesel smell was coming from, and I knew where it was coming from before I opened the door, and I could see little drips of diesel coming between the barn doors. And yeah, so I opened the door, and sure enough, the crappy diesel tank that came with the diesel heater was leaking out of the bottom nipple thing. If you've ever installed a diesel heater, one of the things you have to do is drill a hole in the tank they give you, and then there are these two O-rings on this metal nipple, and you have to fish them through and attach them to the bottom of the tank. And I did this, and I wasn't too happy with how it was, but I tested it with water, and it wasn't leaking. Of course, diesel isn't water. Diesel is much more viscous and can sneak past things that water can't. Ideally, if you're doing a diesel heater install and you set up the tank, you will set the tank aside outside somewhere and make sure it's not leaking. I didn't have that option. So, okay. So I've got diesel in there. It wasn't that much. It was enough I could clean it up. And I very carefully wrenched the fitting again so that it wouldn't leak anymore. O-rings are weird. You don't want to squeeze them too much because then they get flattened out and stuff gets past them. But they also can't be loose. And I'm dealing with temperature changes and stuff. But it was okay. I got it to stop leaking. I hung it back up. Everything was fine. I keep driving. Hour later, I pull over and I better go back there and make sure the thing's not leaking anymore. And I still smell diesel, but okay, that's going to take a while to go away. And I open the door and the tank is not on the wall. The tank is on the floor and it is broken. And there is at least 2 cups of diesel fuel sloshing around in the back of the rig. And it's 7, 8 o'clock at night and I have to sleep in there. That was no good. And I was fortunate in a way that because I was just kind of building this thing quick, I hadn't put in a floor yet. And in fact, I didn't have anything on the floor. The floor, all it had was the rubber mat that came with the thing, and all my stuff was on the shelving. All my clothes and bags and computer, and even the rug that I brought was rolled up on a shelf. So none of that got messed with diesel fuel. But the floor was just an ice skating rink of diesel fuel. And what do you do? I mean, I'm in Kentucky, southern Kentucky. I was almost in Tennessee. And I almost turned around and gave up because this is my home for the next several days. I have to sleep in this thing and it smells like diesel and I'm sure that's not healthy. Not to mention, yeah, no, it's flammable. And my diesel heater wasn't going to work. So after all that, I wasn't even going to have heat. And then, you know, like, I thought about all these different things. You know, what could I do? Could I get a campground and plug it in? Like, no, it's probably not safe. And go to a car wash. Oh, there's nothing open this time of year. And all these different scenarios. And then finally I thought, what if this happened at home? What would I do? And I realized exactly what I would do. And that is I went to the supermarket. And I bought a 20-pound bag of cat litter. Clay cat litter. Not the non-clumping kind. Unfortunately, all they had was scented. So I went back to the truck. And I filled the back of the truck with cat litter. There was probably 1.5 inches of cat litter back there. And I bought a broom and I swept it around and covered everything with cat litter and shut the door. I had created the world's largest rolling kitty litter box. And while I did not see any cats following me, it wouldn't have surprised me. But where do I sleep? Well, I decided I wasn't going to sleep in there. So I got a hotel room in... Where the heck did I get it? I got a hotel room somewhere in Georgia, a Baymont Inn somewhere, I can't even remember where it was, this has all been a blur, drove all the way down there, parked the thing, and then went into the hotel room and took a very long shower to get all the diesel and grime off of me, spent the night in the hotel room, and then in the morning, got up and decided to face the day, which meant driving all the way to VanFest. And so I did. I didn't do anything more with the truck or the rig. I just drove all the way to VanFest, pulled up in there, and said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, and I have a problem." And I showed them, and they were like, "Well, good luck with that," and they parked me. And then I spent the first half day de-kitty littering the truck. And all these people are looking at me like, "He's crazy. He's never going to get that smell out of there." But you know what? I did. The kitty litter really worked, and that rubber mat that was back there, well, basically, it had most of the kitty litter on it, so I rolled it up and took it out with most of the kitty litter, and actually put the kitty litter in a bag and used that as a sandbag to hold up my solar panels, and then I took some CitraSolve kind of cleaner and wiped out all the fiberglass, and the diesel smell was gone. It actually worked. Now, I think I was very lucky in that there was no wood down there to absorb it, and the fiberglass was in good enough shape that I could just wipe it off, but yeah, that fixed it. And I thought, whew, I dodged that bullet, and I set everything up at the campsite there at VanFest, and I put out my new 400-watt solar panels that I mentioned not long ago, and I plugged them into my littlest power bank, because it was the one that was lowest, and something smelled funny, and then I saw the thing you never want to see, that little wisp of blue smoke coming out of your electronic device. And I was like, what? And I unplugged it really quick, and I'm like, what happened? I don't understand. I had taken solar panels and plugged them into the solar panel input of this solar bank. And the polarity was right because I was using the Anderson connectors, and they're colored red and black. There's no way I could screw that up. So what went wrong? It took me a while to figure it out, but I had a multimeter with me because of course I did, and I put the multimeter on the solar panel to test its open voltage, and the open voltage of these 400 watt solar panels were 48 volts. These Vivor solar panels were wired in series, which I did not expect, and I didn't see it say that anywhere in any of the literature. Afterwards, I looked it up, and in the fine print somewhere, it does say that. But my power bank, all three of my power banks, including my Jackery 1500, could only handle up to 30 volts solar input. So I had no way to charge my batteries, and I probably blew my littlest one up. And I feel really dumb about that, because I had just recommended the solar panel to everybody. And I still do, by the way. The solar panel is great. You just have to know that it's 48 volts. So you, even though it comes with all the adapters to put into a power bank, you have to make sure you have a beefy power bank that can handle more than 30 volts. And if you don't, well, then you got to use some kind of a solar controller. But even that doesn't work necessarily because, like my littlest power bank, it wants 23 volts. And there's no way to get 23 volts out of this thing. Anyway, that's a side story. But I had no way to charge my stuff. And I needed to charge my stuff in order to get the diesel heater to work. And it was going down to 33 that night. And yeah, I had an electric blanket. But again, what am I going to do to charge that for night two? My battery-to-battery charger's not hooked up yet. I really had no other way to do this. So I thought, okay, well, what can I do? I was thinking about jury-rigging something with jumper cables and starting the engine and stuff like that. And then I realized that I had brought a solar controller with me. Just at the last minute, I tossed it in there, even though I had no use for it. I thought, well, I'll throw it in there. Maybe something will come up. And something came up. What do you know? All I needed was a battery. And there was an Ace Hardware nearby. And I actually walked all the way to Ace Hardware and bought the last battery they had. And I brought it back to the rig, hooked up the solar panels to the battery, which charged up perfectly. And then I charged my power banks from that battery. Very slowly, because it was only a 12-volt charge, but it worked enough to get me through the weekend. And there's a moral of this here. Something about perseverance or determination or knowing enough to be able to fix things when things go really weird. I don't know. There's some moral here. All I know is I got through it. And there were moments there that were not fun. No, there were some low moments in that story. But then VanFest was wonderful. Everybody was so darn kind to me. I couldn't believe it. People were giving me gifts, some of them very, very generous, John. I mean, amazingly generous. I am blown away. See, folks, when I do this podcast, I know there are some people listening, but I don't honestly think about, like, a sports stadium full of fans listening to the show. No, I think of like having a conversation one-on-one with somebody. That's like my goal, and that's the headspace I like to be in. But so many people came up to me during VanFest saying that they listen to the show and they love it. And one guy named Ed came up and said, hey, can I have a sticker? And I'm like, sure. And I gave him the sticker, and we talked about what Hook, Walk, a Bang meant. And then he gave me $5. And I was like, oh, you don't have to do that. And then I was like, oh, he just bought me a gallon. It was my first live gallon purchase. So thank you, Ed. I still have the $5. I might frame it. And let me just stop right here and say a whole bunch of thank yous. There's a lot of thank yous here, and bear with me, but there were so many people who helped me out. I'm probably not going to remember anybody. I'm just doing this off the top of my head. But I need to thank John and Wendy and Bruce and Darren and Karen and Nellie and Lauren and Christina and Bill and Steve and Audra and Charlie Grace and Lance and Jess for putting the thing on in the first place, and Tim for organizing the volunteers, and Sarah for being an amazing volunteer, and B for giving me a lot to think about. So many cool people there. It was a little frustrating because it's only a 3-day event, and I didn't have enough time to spend with all these people that I really would have liked to have spent time with. Such really cool, down-to-earth people. And they're not all the same. They're diverse people. They're people with different opinions and attitudes and experiences. I was talking with this guy named Steve, who was a multimillionaire. But you would only know that if you gave him a chance to tell his story. And he and I had some similar stories about tech stuff in the 90s that was kind of a bonding moment. And then there's other people who have, like, no money at all. And they're all together communing in, I guess you can't really call that nature, but they're all in one place, enjoying each other's company, and that doesn't happen very often in the real world, you know? Everybody there was an equal, no matter if they were sleeping in the world's largest rolling kitty litter box, or in a $300,000 adventure rig, which a few people had. We were all there for the same reason, and it was glorious, and it was exactly the kind of thing I think the world could use a lot more of right now. So I have 90% committed to going to VanFest in Cape Cod this August. I wish I could be 100%, but I have looked at my calendar, and I have an incredibly busy calendar this year, regrettably so, even though there's a lot of really cool stuff. So I can't do more than 90% because there's you know, real life that will get in the way from time to time. But I'm going to try. And if I don't go, you should go anyway. VanFest USA is where this stuff happens. Now, I'm going to, in future episodes, and I'm going to try to release these faster than a week at a time because I've got at least 3 episodes worth of interesting content just sitting there. I'm going to go through that content, edit it, and get it up. And it's going to be interviews with people at VanFest about all the different things that they've experienced there and their different journeys in life and stuff. And it's these people are really interesting. I mean, I could do a podcast on each one of these persons, people I met and their lives and how they're making it all work. It's just amazing. That's all I can say. I'm a little verklempt. I mean, I just drove 22 hours and I'm a little punch drunk, I suppose, but it was a very, very cool thing. And if anyone out there is thinking about doing van life and isn't really sure yet, well, first off, see if you can get to a VanFest event. You don't have to stay. You can just do a day pass and just walk around and meet everybody and see all their vans. That will be a huge indicator, because if that all looks really cool, yes, you should try van life. But if it looks kind of scary, then maybe not. Maybe that's not the time for you. But you will get to ask any question you want. People are very open. Well, you know, there was one guy who was going around rig to rig to rig, and he said, how do you poop in that thing? And everybody had a different answer. I mean, there were porta potties there, so most of us weren't. You know, we were using the available facilities. And other people had full bathrooms in their rig, and there was every variation in between. The term wag bag came up an awful lot this weekend, and I wish I could take credit for this, but a wag bag is, the wag part stands for waste alleviating gel, and the bag is kind of obvious, and you can put 2 and 1 together there and seal it up and throw it away. That's kind of the idea. So, every topic you can imagine was brought up and discussed, and you know, I've done a lot of these community things in my life. I've been part of a number of communities that have these gatherings. You know, Team Rubicon had these big events, and The Amazing Meeting was a big event, and Boy Scout Jamborees. I mean, there's always been some sort of thing I've been involved with. This event, and the one that I went to before, had the least drama of anything I've ever been involved with. It wasn't no drama. There were 400 or 500 people there, but it was the minimum amount of drama. Everybody were people of goodwill coming together, just trying to help each other and have fun. People did different things. There were the Jesus people there. There were the pot smokers. There was the LGBTQ plus group. There were, I mean, every walk of life was represented there in one form or another. And if anybody disagreed about anything, they just didn't make a big deal out of it. You know, there was a guy flying a big Second Amendment flag. People walked by. Some of them stopped and talked to him about guns. Other people just walked by. And, you know, it didn't turn into a big thing. There weren't any protests. And I don't know. It was kind of nice. You know, the way the world is now, and you turn on the TV and it's all fighting and screaming and yelling. And while I think that stuff's important, it was nice to just take a break for a little bit. So, anyway, I appreciate everybody for listening, and I'm sorry I haven't done a normal podcast in a couple weeks now. It has just been very, very crazy, but I did want to get this out today, There's just so many really cool people. If I did not say thank you in this podcast, I apologize. And it doesn't mean I've forgotten you. It just means that I'm overwhelmed at the moment. And you will come up eventually, I'm sure. So, I shall leave you now, except for one small additional tale from the road. I'm driving home, and I decided to do it all in one shot. From Melbourne, Florida to Chicago is about 1,250 miles. It was not a great drive. I left at about 3 a.m. and drove straight, and had all kinds of traffic problems, whatever. But I was getting there. You know, I was in Indiana, which does not have the greatest roads in the world, and I could kind of... Actually, I remember where I was. I was in Gary. And in Gary, Indiana, you can see Chicago, depending on where you are. It's Gary, Indiana is actually kind of part of Chicago. And I thought, oh, I'm almost there. And then the road dropped out from beneath the truck. There was a pothole so big that when the truck hit it, it actually launched. You know, I'm doing 75 miles an hour on the interstate. And the truck went up in the air and bounced. It was fine. I maintained control. The truck wasn't damaged. But when I got home and I opened the back doors, my diesel tank that I created on the road to store my diesel was fine. But every single other thing I owned was on the floor. It jumped off all the shelves and it was just thrown all over the place. I looked at it and I laughed and I shut the door. I'm going to deal with that another day. Thank you very much for listening. Music, as always, is by Simon Wegg. And I hope to see you at VanFest USA at some place someday. And if not, well, you can experience it vicariously through me and all the other people out there who have made it such a wonderful thing.